Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Thanks for hanging out and listening and staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. I think you're going to be glad you did that. And one of the reasons why I think you're going to be glad, I know you're going to be glad, is because we got Bob McTeer. Dr. Robert McTeer is with us. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, former president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, former member of the Federal Open Market Committee, the group that's meeting today and tomorrow, the Fed's policy organization, the group of folks who get together every few weeks to talk about what to do with monetary policy. And he's now a distinguished fellow with National Center for Policy Analysis, NCPA, an organization that we think an awful lot of. And more importantly, he's our good friend, Bob McTeer. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And also a very regular guest on CNBC. You're all over the network over there, aren't you?
Yeah, well, they made me a contributor, which means that I can only be on CNBC now, and they pay me a little bit.
I was going to say, that contributor thing, that's code for you get a check once in a while.
That's right. I'd like to be a Jim Blasingame contributor.
Yeah, we have to work on that. You are a contributor, but we have a little different rules on the monetary side on that, Bob. Hey, the Fed is having one of their two-day meetings. About twice a year they have a two-day meeting?
For years and years it was twice a year. But this year I think they're having more two-day meetings than one-day meetings. The workload seems to be...
Is that what it is? Why do they have 2 days, and why do they schedule them like that?
I think it's because these days they've got so many special programs going, and they're operating in uncharted waters, that they just feel like they need more time to discuss things rather than just what they're going to do with policy this time.
You know, for a long time, Bob, you and I talked on the show when you were a member of the FOMC. We talked about the fact that the United States Central Bank was really the world's central bank. And of course, back in those days, back in the 99, 2000, 2001, when you were early on the show, you should talk about the limited number of tools that the Fed had, and that they kind of had a lot of blunt instruments to turn the economy to influence the economy, but today that's not really the case, is it?
Well,
they got a lot more.
When they brought the Fed funds rate down to virtually zero, they no longer had that tool. The discount rate is down about that low, and so the way they're doing their discounting is different, maybe a two, but not the rate itself. These days, what they're doing is they're buying things like mortgage-backed securities. They're buying securitized consumer loans, auto loans, credit card loans, student loans. And so they're making a tool out of trying to unfreeze these frozen asset markets.
Is that the right thing for the Fed to be doing?
Right now, in this emergency system, it's very good. It gets the Fed into places it's not been before, but they're going in there because those markets were just not functioning, and they're trying to sort of prime the pump of those markets and get them going again.
But wasn't that what TARP was supposed to do last fall? Wasn't that supposed to get the banks to start moving the money around? And if the Fed is having to do that now, did we make a bad investment in the TARP?
No, we didn't. People say that's what TARP was designed to do, sort of after the fact. What TARP was designed to do was save the banks.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much done that. Whenever somebody gets on in front of a congressional hearing, they always get chewed over for changing TARP. TARP was going to be buying toxic assets.
Right.
And it ended up just putting capital into the banks by buying preferred stock.
And by the way, that's Troubled Asset Recovery Program, folks, the TARP, that was such a controversial issue back in late September, October. Go ahead.
What people forget, Jim, is that this is buying preferred stock by the Treasury. It's not giving money away. And the few banks that have already paid their TARP back have paid the government a lot of interest. And the taxpayer is actually making a good bit of money on this program.
Yeah. So you're saying that this is not something that the Fed's having to do because the bank didn't do what they were supposed to do. This is actually the government making a quality investment into the economy.
The banks, 99% of which had nothing to do with creating mortgage-backed securities and all these things, they had them on their balance sheets as safe investments. And suddenly they were no longer safe, but nobody knew which ones were which.
So right.
Nobody would trade with them. So what the government's doing is helping them have this extra cushion for these things to go bad.
Hold on to that thought, Bob. I want to take a quick break, folks. Right back with Bob McTeer. Don't go away. 22. Stay with us.
I can't imagine.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for hanging out with there and using it to your advantage. We built it just for you. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We've got something you can read or listen to on every topic under the Small Business Sun. Surely we've got something there that will benefit you depending on what's on your mind. And it will help you a little bit. You can wander around there. There's stuff that you can wander around and entertain yourself with, but it'll help you if you kind of know what's on your mind. And because we arrange things in categories, you can search whatever you want. Ask a question, read, listen, lots of stuff there. My blog is there. My newsletter is there. My knowledge base. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Bob McTeer is with us, folks. Dr. Robert McTeer, Distinguished Fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis. That's ncpa.org. And, Bob, your own website is bobmcteer.com. Is that right?
That's right, with no dot in between.
Yeah, Bob McTeer and his blog is there as well, and I encourage you to check it out, folks. Very good stuff, very thoughtful stuff. Bob's one of the smartest economic minds that I've ever met. Bob, we're talking about the Fed. They're meeting today and tomorrow. Let's get one thing off the table real quick. They're not going to do anything with rates this time, are they?
No.
So that's
it'll be quite a while before they do, I think.
Exactly. So let's get that off the table. Back to what you said as we went to the break. You were talking about some of the steps that the Fed is taking, some of the tools, some of the newfound influences that they have on right now, you believe, helping the economy. Is this potentially a dangerous thing? Can that kind of power, that kind of influence, are we going to need to back that out of the Fed at some point in time? Are they getting too much power?
Well, through these tools, I don't think they're getting a lot of power, and they will end. However, if you listen to Congress and you read some of the national press, a lot of people are using that as an excuse to say they are getting too much power. Let me just say that in the first phase of this, in the first several months of the crisis, what they were doing is finding ways to make loans to financial institutions to keep them going through special lending facilities. That sort of changed over then to finding ways to try to unfreeze some of these financial markets by having the Fed go in there and make purchases. For example, purchases in the commercial paper market, which was not functioning. Purchases in the market for securitized auto loans and student loans and so forth. So they're basically unfreezing these markets. Now, they would have been purchasing Treasury bills, so what they're doing is just purchasing something else. It's not like it's an add-on.
Right. It's just another way of applying their resources to get the economy going again. Is it working? Are the steps that they're taking working?
Yes, they're slowly working, meaning that the market is it can be taken off the respirator, but probably can't be discharged quite yet. But the financial side is working. Meanwhile, you know, we've got this recession that got very deep. We got a very bad unemployment problem. both those things seem to be bottoming out, but bottoming out at the bottom of a long hill. I mean, the unemployment rate will probably go over 10%.
Yeah.
The number of jobs lost is very large, so it's a deep
something like 6 million. I mean, apparently, the entire job creation that happened in the last 5 years or so was wiped out in terms of numbers. That's something that I saw recently. Bob, speaking of the economy, some economists are saying that the recession technically, as we define recessions, ended in the last quarter, and that we're now going to start seeing, you know, some positive GDP, maybe not great GDP growth, but some positive. Even if that's the case, it still doesn't feel like a recovery, does it?
No, and one of the reasons we may get positive GDP growth in the third quarter is fairly technical. The last couple of quarters, inventories were drawn down, and that added to the negative number. At some point, if you go two or three quarters by inventories being drawn down, they need to be rebuilt. And when that happens, they'll count those inventories as new investment.
Right.
And that may be sufficient right there to turn a close call into positive. But it's not the kind of positive that does you much
good.
Well,
yeah, it's not high-quality growth, is it? It's
right.
It's...
And growth for a while is going to be largely government. I mean, private investment is way off. The consumer's in a real pickle.
Corporations are hoarding cash like crazy.
Yeah, everybody's scared, and they don't want to spend. You know, you spend with me before I spend.
Right. Do you think the major corporations overreacted to this? Do you think they went too far with their layoffs, with their capital cuts?
I've heard that said. I really don't know the answer to that. But if they did, then that just means the bounce back will be pretty rapid. It would be unfortunate for those that might have been laid off unnecessarily.
Well, that's the thing that I'm concerned about, and consequently, there are a lot of companies that are profitable right now, but not because they're creating some great opportunity or growing their business, but because they're just operating profitably by cutting back so much.
That's right. Everybody on CNBC is talking about, well, you know, it was through cost cutting, and you can't keep on making your numbers with cost cutting. At some point, you've got to have top line growth.
Bob, I grew up on a farm, and my dad used to say when we'd feed the animals, he'd say, son, you can't starve a profit out of your herd.
I put a little note to myself on my bulletin board.
Yeah.
Says, I need more top line growth.
There you go. I got you. Stand by. 10 till. We're going to be right back with our good friend Bob McTeer, Distinguished Fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend McTeer, Dr. Robert McTeer, former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, now distinguished fellow, I should say, of National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org. His own website is bobmcteer.com. You can find his blog there and all the other things he does there. Watch him on. You're going to be on CNBC later today, aren't you?
Yeah, I think on the East Coast it's around 12:20. All these time zones are very confusing.
and of course, you're going to be on tomorrow, I think, too, aren't you?
Well, I might be on the Kudlow show. Lately, yeah. Lately, I've been on Kudlow more than
that's
the
a
others.
Good show. That's a good place for you to be. He likes
every,
you.
Every he, now, he likes me.
Kudlow's been your champion for a long time.
That's right.
Yeah.
I still can't get a word in.
and I bet he doesn't let you do haikus on his show like I do either, does he? Hey, Bob, I have this theory I want to run by you. I believe that with what has happened to Wall Street, what's happened to major corporations over the last year or so, and all the result of all these things that have happened, I believe there's going to be an increased emphasis and importance of small business in the United States economy. What do you think?
Probably in a positive way, but at least in a default way, because I think the large businesses are going to have increasing problems with government control.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I think you're right.
Well, see, one of the reasons I'm saying this, and this has been going on, this isn't the first, this is sort of like outsourcing 3.0. I mean, we had 1.0 and 2.0 already, and this is where corporations went from having everybody who does all things in their business, mowing the yard, painting the walls, whatever they have, guarding the buildings, all those were employees. Then they outsourced that. That was 1.0 back in the 70s, 80s. Primarily 80s. In the 90s, it was a little bit more. And now, I think that the cutbacks that the corporations have made is going to create new opportunities for business, for small and medium businesses, to take up some of that slack. I think corporations will be more likely to contract for some of this work coming back as the economy expands than they are to hire new people. What do you think?
You may be right. I haven't given that a lot of thought lately, but I don't see anything wrong with your logic.
Yeah, what do you think? Talk to us about the economy. There's a lot of talk over a V or a W or whatever. What are the chances that we could have a little uptick here, and then what would cause us to go into a W where we have another drop and we drop into recession again, kind of like we did in '81 and '83.
I guess what might cause that is sort of an exhaustion of the government injections. You know, the mojo might go out of that, and then there wouldn't be anything there to replace it.
When is that mojo going to happen, Bob? I haven't seen that yet.
I don't know. You know, people talk about another stimulus package, and I think they forget that just ordinary spending stimulates. You don't have to call something a stimulus package to have a stimulus package. So I think there's plenty of spending. The problem is that it's more and more government spending and less investment. Of course, you're not likely to get much investment spending until you get some consumer spending, and you're not likely to get much consumer spending under these circumstances because consumers used to rely on appreciating assets, houses and 401ks, for their what they thought of as their saving, and that's gone away.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if they save, it means less consumption.
Right.
And less consumption is and more saving is a good thing in the long run for your standard of living. It's a terrible thing in the short run for a cycle.
If you were advising President Obama right now on his fiscal policy, what would you tell him to do?
Well, I'd sort of cool it a little bit. I'd try to slow down on things. I think he's trying to do too much. He's trying to spend too much, and he's turned too much of it over to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, to be mm-hmm. perfectly honest about it. He was out there advertising what it was going to do, and it hadn't even been written yet. And what he was saying about it really wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
When the bill came out. By the way, you mentioned the haiku. If you got time, I finally have a new poem.
Well, you got to say quick. I got 15 seconds. Can you do it in 15 seconds?
I don't know.
Well,
I'm not all I used to be. Time has taken its toll on me. My rusted joint hurt like hell. My engine runs, but not very well. I've lost some efficiency. I'm not exactly carbon free. Folks don't want to share my air, but I'm not so sure that's fair. And they don't want any old fools in their insurance pools. They will pay me to go away to the junk keep if I'll stay. They can junk me and crush me if they must.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.